Next presentation is going to be by Hua Ping from the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences, and this is in part a bit of a departure here from primary emphasis on U.S. Corn Belt agriculture, and she's going to be talking about management systems for improved yields and yield stability with climate variability in China. She is also acting as a professor of the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences, as well as a director for International Plant Nutrition Institute. So let's warmly welcome Hua Ping.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, thank you, Tony, for inviting me to this session. And also, I would like to thank to Gaffney from Pioneer for supporting my travel here. So I'm not a climate expert, but today I will talk about this management system make a comparison from the different cropping system like maize. As Tony introduced, I'm from IPNI, China Program. The last author is my IPNI college, and the first author is my postdoc. So I'm also working at the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences. Food security is a very hot topic. Since in the last 2 days, a lot of talk on this topic, food security, and also related to the sustainability. Since the world population by 2050 will be 9.1 billion people, so the great challenge for this food security. And also, we are facing more challenge in China. By 2020, the total population is 1.37 billion. And by 2020 and 2030, that will be 1.43 and 1.6 million people. And at the same time, we have very limited arable land, and this decreasing in the last 10 years. We now have only the arable land from the statistic data in 2008. And now the number is 121.7 million hectares, which is very close to the, we call the red line set up by the central government, is 120 million hectares. I believe, even though there is no governmental data on this arable land up to now, but I believe this increasing very, very close to the red line. At this time, we talk about the food security in China. The chemical fertilizer play an important role in feeding this growing population. And this yield gain, from this large contribution from the chemical fertilizer application. Maybe I will give a very short introduction about the fertilizer industry in China. We started our fertilizer industry in early 1960s. So we started to apply nitrogen and phosphorus. And after 1980s, since the balanced fertilization introduced to China, so potassium applied in China after 1980s. So that's not now the fertilizer situation in China is, I think, related to this historic fertilizer industry development. And the situation is that we over-applied nitrogen and phosphorus. And the potassium, we are more balanced now. But in some areas, potassium still under-applied. So now the fertilizer consumption total number is around 60 million tons. It's one-third of the world total consumption. Awesome. 1/3 of the world total consumption. And our average fertilizer application rate is about 3 times of the world average. So we are, yeah, this all because the food security, densely population. So our China agriculture system is quite different from US, from other places in the world. So the food security, how to increase the yield is very important. And how to increase the yield, we have to know the how to narrow the yield gap. Here is a recent study from our group. We studied the different yield gap for maize across different regions in China. Here is Northeast. Northeast is the spring maize planting area in China. Northwest, North Central, and Southwest. So our main maize production area is spring maize in Northeast and summer maize in North Central region. So you can see here the yield gap is not very big. The gap is here referred to the attainable yield and the farmer's average yield here. But in Northwest, it's a very drought region. And if there is water, the yield can be increased a lot. So here, our attainable yield with some cases with irrigation. So the yield gap here can be very big, 1.8 tons. And the Southwest, 1.0 tons. So you have some idea of the maize production in China. So we talk about the yield gap. Many different factors can contribute this yield gap. We see the climate, different water conditions, different temperature, and the soils. Also, lack of technology. We will also talk about the management system, nutrient management, and also the market access. Like we talk about irrigation, the instrument available or not, and also it's close related to the government support. So China, we also now great changes happened. In the past, the research on, because this food security, so we are focused on this high yield or super high yielding study. But that efficiency is very low. And now we come to a stage from high yielding to high efficiency. And this is very related to the recent policy released by the central government. Because our chemical fertilizer consumption is it's about 60 million tons. So now the new policy we call the zero growth of the chemical fertilizers. So how to improve the nutrient use efficiency is a hot topic now from the government and then finally come to the research. So we focus on the ecological intensification. It's a concept from my understanding, based on the catchments 1999. So it's a production system that satisfies the anticipated increase in food demand while meeting accessible standards for environmental quality. So this ecological intensification, also a part of work at International Plant Nutrition Institute. We initiated this project from 2009, and we have 20 sites globally. And in China, we have 2 sites. One site is in for spring maize in Northeast, and another site is for summer maize rotation system, which in North Central China. So this introduced about our ecological intensification. And combined to this presentation, I have the 2 main objectives. The first to evaluate the agronomic and the environmental effect of EI practice on green yield, nitrogen use efficiency parameters, nitrogen losses, and greenhouse gases emission related. And the second, to test the resilient ability of the EI treatment as compared with the farmer's practice and a biotic condition. So I will introduce the EI management in our experiment. Here in EI principles in the high yielding maize cropping system was matched not only the fertilizer rate and the fertilizer time, but also we improve the other ground mix practices like plant population and different varieties we used. So next I will introduce the two EI sites. One is, as I mentioned here, Jilin, Northeast. This is a monocropping system and the rain-fed system. Is we often call this the golden maize belt of China. It's quite comparable with the U.S. maize belt. Black soil. Another site in Hebei here. Summer maize rotated with winter wheat. I'm thinking is our rotation system sustainable as compared to the first presentation, corn and soybean? But we have no choice because the food security is the first top priorities in China. So because the high yield. So summer maize in North Central rotated with winter wheat. And irrigated for summer maize and fluvial aquatic soils. Because we IPN have 20 sites, so in each site we standardize the database. Like we have the project number and we have the cooperators information there, and also the latitude and longitude information, elevation. So this is the site information related, Jilin. And the management system we conducted, this is a fertilizer application rate. So here the EI treatment, this NPK rate here. And before conducting this experiment, we take the soil samples and give the other secondary or micronutrients there based on soil test. And this is a farmer's practice. So you can see normally the farmer over-applied nitrogen and over-applied P. But in this case, potassium is not low here. And our management system, we optimize the right rate and the right time because we splitting nitrogen in EI treatment. So 1/4 nitrogen as basal, and the rest nitrogen apply as top dressing. RP and K apply as basal. But for farmers, all fertilizers as basal for one application. This is the actual case for farmers' practice. Also, this is because the farmer cost, and no one want to stay in the field for farming. So they left their hand after planting. One application of the fertilizer there and go to the city for another job. They can have a much, much higher income from that job, not from farming in the field. So we optimize this nutrient management like this from 2008, 2009 to 2013. But after 2014, we optimize not only the nutrient management, but also some others, including we use the pioneer varieties like 339. And we also, with this variety, increase the plant population up to 65,000 plants per hectare. And the farmers, they use these local varieties. Plant population is only 50,000 hectares, plants per hectare. Because if because the soil layer is very shallow, like the ploil layer is only 15 centimeters. If you increase the plant population, and if there is a strong wind during the season, the lodging will be happen. So that's why. So in this side, the stress is drought sometimes, and the low temperature in early spring sometimes. And this is another site, summer maize, the site information. You can see the different project number, different cooperator, and other site related information. We also have the weather station in each site. Here is the nutrient management practices in summer maize in Hebei. Also, we optimize the raise time and placement. Because the farmers practice, they want application with broadcasting. And in our case, the EI, we band application and splitting nitrogen. Also, we improve the plant density and the plant hybrid in EI treatment. I think this is the opposite. And the stress here for summer maize is high temperatures from July to August. Sometimes over 35 degrees. I read a review paper before coming to this. If the temperature increases over 35 degrees, so the yield will be reduced. So this may be one stress for this site, and also related to so many climate change some studies. Here is a different rainfall comparison. This brown color is spring maize rain-fed area. So we can see the year 2010 and the year 2013 is the favorite condition here. So please remember here, we'll talk about this later. And another site for summer maize, so some variation rain-fed. But irrigated in that site. Here is the result, the grain yield and the spring maize, summer maize. So we can see the EI treatment here with the green color improved our yield in two sites. Jilin site here, spring maize, the yield increased like 4%, and the summer maize like 7%. But we use the less fertilizer nitrogen and P input. Also, we check the Jilin site. Just as I mentioned, the year 2010 and the year 2013 is the favorite condition. And the 29, the rest 2011 or 2014 is not favorite condition. So in this case, the yield, this is the agronomic efficiency. Here is the yield. Yeah, I talked about the yield. So the yield in these 3 years, we say not a favorable condition. The yield improved significantly. And also we find the yield increase in Jilin site for spring maize rain-fed condition. The grain yield improved much larger than summer maize site. This is the agronomic efficiency. We can see also the EI has significant agronomic efficiency than FP in both sides. And you may have the interest in this 2014. This agronomic efficiency and also the grain yield improved a lot. So that is because we improved the hybrid and we increased the plant population. But this is only 1 year result. We need to check the yield this year and the next. Also, the agronomic efficiency under the favorite condition improved somehow, but improved significantly under this unfavorable condition. So that means the EI can improve the nitrogen efficiency. under the unfavorable condition, that means high resiliency than farmers' practice. And also this EI treatment improved the partial factor productivity of nitrogen. So this same trends from 29 to 2014. And same, we have the high FPFP, PFPN in 2014. Also we analyzed the nitrogen uptake and we calculated the accumulated recovery efficiency, because we need the nitrogen omission plot to calculate this. And the nitrogen uptake, you see the EI treatment, there is no significant differences between these two treatments. But you can see some trends that farmers' practice can uptake more nitrogen than EI, because the farmers apply more nitrogen. So more nitrogen uptake by the plants. But not all nitrogen mobilized or translocated into green. We can see this from the agronomic efficiency. And also the recovery efficiency improved a lot by this EI treatment. Also, we estimated the greenhouse gases emission. This for spring maize in Jilin site. This another site in Hebei for summer maize. So as we know, the nitrogen rate increased the greenhouse gases emission. So the spring maize system is we have the lower greenhouse gases emission potential. And the summer maize, this system is not very good. Here you see the site. This is because the summer maize site we rotated with winter wheat. So now the June is the season of the winter wheat here. And our colleague from the International Plant Nutrition Institute visited the site here. And here is the weather station. And here is the spring maize in Jilin. So finally, give a very short summary. So EI here is a concept. We in this our study is appropriate varieties with optimized planting density, right fertilizer application rate, time and place, and other best management practices. We also still need to learn more BMPs. Second, compared with the FP, the EI treatment could maintain green yield, improve nitrogen use efficiency, and decrease greenhouse gases emission. Better management practices help improve the resilience to a biostress like drought and high temperature in this study. This is another site in Jilin, spring maize. I want to mention this farmer and this Professor Zhang, we studied 20 years ago here. And also I want to thank Tony also here. He's in our field. Thank you.
Stability is one of the things you pointed to those 2 years, but let's just fast forward a little bit. What is the yield stability under the expected weather variability that might occur?
It's a very difficult topic, the yield stability. I'm the person on the nutrient management. So from my aspect, the great effort from my aspect is how to improve the nutrient management to make the yield stable. Like through the balanced nutrition, like in the past we applied the potassium also, and this can improve the yield stability to resist and to a bio like low temperature stress. Not yet. Up to now, we only estimate the greenhouse gases emission. But good point. We can analysis of this environment related. This is because this is only one side.
Okay.
Yeah, one side, two sides. One spring maize, another summer maize.
Sure.
And the yield I presented yesterday is from the recent multiple site experiment. And we use the nutrient expert to improve our nutrient management and compared with the farmer's practice. That means our nutrient expert is a very, very from our side is a confident nutrient decision support tools to improve the nutrient management system.
And I noticed that one of the things that you were changing was the timing of nitrogen, and you were going from basal or the at plant application to something which was, I believe, 25% at plant. 50% at sidedress time, and then there was a further 25% at R1, or the flowering stage. So just tell me, what was the thought process about 25% of the total nitrogen being applied at flowering? Why then? Why not at V10, R2? Why R1?
Yeah, we can do that better by adding another time of top dressing, like 25%. Yeah, we have this kind of study like 10 years ago to compare the different one application or two application, three application. So the conclusion is three application is better than two application. But it's difficult to persuade farmers to split nitrogen. So we are just in a balance in our experiment. We apply two times of nitrogen.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.